Page 32, Section 3, The Federal Government. As you read, look for the three branches of the United States government and their responsibilities. The system of checks and balances. West Virginia's representatives in Congress. Terms, reapportion, expressed powers, implied powers, impeach, committee, bill, veto, judicial review. When the United States Constitution was ratified by the states, it established a national government with three branches, the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. The legislative branch. The first article of the United States Constitution established the legislative branch of the federal government. It sets the requirements for and responsibilities of those who serve in Congress. Congress is the lawmaking branch of the federal government. The members of Congress. The Constitution established a bicameral legislature composed of the Senate and the House of Representatives. The Senate. The Senate is made up of two representatives from each state for a total of 100 members. A senator must be at least 30 years old, a citizen of the United States for at least 9 years, and a resident of the state he or she represents. Originally, senators were chosen by their state legislatures to serve a 6-year term. In 1913, the 17th Amendment provided that the members of the Senate be elected by the people. Senate terms are now staggered so that only 1/3 of the entire Senate is elected in any one election year. The Vice President of the United States serves as the President of the Senate and presides over sessions. The Vice President does not vote on any issues that are before the Senate unless there is a tie vote. The President pro tem of the Senate, the senior member of the majority party, presides over the Senate when the Vice President is absent. There are also majority and minority leaders in the Senate. These individuals are the political leaders of the country's two dominant political parties, the Democratic and the Republican parties. These leaders work to promote and control legislation supported by their parties. West Virginia Portraits. Shelley Moore Capito. Shelley Moore Capito was born on November 26, 1953, in Glendale, West Virginia, to Shelley Riley and Arch Alfred Moore, Jr. Shelley became immersed in politics at an early age. Her father was a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates when she was born, and she was 2 years old when he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. She was a high school sophomore when the Moore family moved into the West Virginia Governor's Mansion. Shelley's political career has somewhat mirrored her father's, as her first elected political office, like his years earlier, was to the West Virginia House of Delegates in 1996. She served 2 terms as a delegate before deciding to run for a national office in 2000. In that election, she narrowly defeated her Democratic opponent to become the first Republican to represent West Virginia in the United States Congress since 1983. When she handily defeated her opponent in her re-election campaign in 2002, she became the first Republican to win re-election, since her father did so when he represented West Virginia's first congressional district from 1957 to 1969. Although Shelley and her father represented the first congressional district, they did not represent the same counties due to a law that requires a redistricting of boundaries after each census. In 2006, Shelley won re-election for a 4th term, this time from the 2nd Congressional District because another redistricting had occurred. In 2010, she was mentioned as a possible candidate for the U.S. Senate seat of Robert C. Byrd, who died on June 28, 2010. She chose, however, to run for and win a 6th term in the House of Representatives. In this election, she won all 18 counties in her district. After another redistricting, Shelley was challenged for the first time in her career in the 2012 primary election. After struggling in the primary, she won a seventh term handily in what would be her final term in the House of Representatives. On November 26, 2012, Shelley announced she would run for the 2014 U.S. Senate seat of Jay Rockefeller. After deciding to retire, Rockefeller dropped out of the race in January 2013. Shelley won the vacant Senate seat by the largest margin for a Republican in a statewide race in West Virginia history. This achievement also gave her the distinction of being West Virginia's first female U.S. Senator. Shelley has a degree in biology from Duke University and a master's in education from the University of Virginia. She also worked as a college counselor at West Virginia State College, now West Virginia State University. She is married to Charles L. Capito, a Charleston banker. They have three adult children, two sons and one daughter. One of their sons, Moore Capito, who seems to be following in the footsteps of his father and mother, was elected to the West Virginia House of Delegates in 2016. House of Representatives. A member of the House of Representatives must be at least 25 years of age, a citizen of the United States for at least 7 years, and a resident of the state he or she represents. Each state's representatives are elected to 2-year terms, and they are chosen in the general elections of even-numbered years. Each state's population determines the number of representatives it has in the House of Representatives. The Reapportionment Act of 1929 set a limit of 435 members in the U.S. House of Representatives. Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands each have a non-voting representative. One representative from the District of Columbia may vote only in committee. Every 10 years, the 435 seats are reapportioned, divided according to a plan, among the states according to federal census figures. Based on the 2010 census, West Virginia will continue to have 3 representatives. There will be another reapportionment after the 2020 census. The political party that holds a majority of seats in the House, 218 or more, is said to control the House. The Speaker of the House is the leader of the House and is always a member of the majority party. The Speaker is responsible for the day-to-day functions of the House. At the beginning of each session of Congress, the two political parties select their leaders. The controlling party also selects the majority leader, who controls the legislative agenda. The powers of Congress. The U.S. Constitution gives certain powers to Congress. These powers are both expressed and implied. Expressed powers are those powers specifically given to Congress in the United States Constitution. Implied powers are not specifically stated in the Constitution, but come from Congress's right to make all laws necessary to carry out its expressed powers. This statement, which comes at the end of Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, is known as the Elastic Clause because it stretches the powers of Congress. The Constitution gives each House of Congress some powers not given to the other. The House of Representatives has the power to impeach, to bring charges against an elected official while that official is still in office. The power to try that impeached official rests with the Senate. All bills to raise revenue must originate in the House of Representatives. The Senate has the sole power to ratify treaties and to confirm the President's selection of individuals to serve as cabinet members or in other high-ranking government positions. How Congress operates. The legislative work of Congress is accomplished mainly through committees. All members of Congress sit on several different committees. Their committee appointments are determined by their party's leadership and power, their personal interest, and the special needs and interest of their constituents, the voters they represent. Committees accomplish their work through 2 main activities, hearings and investigations. These activities are a part of Congress's oversight power, meaning that Congress uses hearings and investigations to oversee the activities of the executive branch of government and the federal bureaucracy. There are 4 basic types of committees: standing committees, select committees, conference committees, and joint committees. Standing committees monitor the work of federal agencies and departments that fall under their areas. For example, the Department of Agriculture falls under the Agriculture Committee. Committees also control the progress of bills, proposed legislation. Committees can send legislation under their jurisdiction to the full House or Senate, or they can kill the legislation. The House of Representatives has 22 standing committees, and the Senate has 16 standing committees. At any time, Congress can form select committees to deal with specific issues, such as the Select Committee on Aging or the Select Committee on Narcotics Abuse and Control. Select committees usually have a limited life. A conference committee works out a compromise when the House and the Senate have approved different versions of a bill. The committee contains members of both houses. If both bodies of Congress adopt the compromise version, it is sent to the President to be approved or vetoed. To veto is to refuse to sign a bill. The fourth type of committee is the joint committee. Joint committees have members from both the House and the Senate and focus on issues of national concern. However, they do not propose legislation. In addition to these four committees, much of the work of Congress is accomplished by subcommittees, which are smaller groups that examine issues, draft bills, and hold hearings to gather evidence for and against a bill. How laws are made. Bills can be introduced in either the House or the Senate. Sometimes bills are introduced at the same time in both bodies. A bill must be introduced or sponsored by a member of the House or the Senate, and it may have more than one sponsor. Bills are then sent to committees for consideration. The Speaker of the House or the presiding officer of the Senate decides which committees will receive which bills. Typically, bills are then referred to subcommittees, which report back to the full committees, either recommending action on the bill or offering a revised version of the bill. At that point, the committees can either support the bill or allow it to die in committee. Bills that reach the floor of the House or the Senate are debated and discussed. If a bill is passed by one House of Congress, it is then sent to the other House, where it goes through the same process. If different versions of a bill are approved, a conference committee works out a compromise. The compromise bill must be voted on by both houses. A bill must be passed in the same form by the House and the Senate. If the President vetoes the bill is returned to Congress, along with the reasons for vetoing it. A two-thirds vote by both houses of Congress is required to override a presidential veto. If the President does not sign a bill into law within 10 days, and if Congress is still in session, the bill becomes law without the President's signature. However, if Congress adjourns during this 10-day period, the bill does not become a law and is dead. This type of inaction is often called a pocket veto. The Executive Branch. The executive branch makes sure that the laws passed by the legislative branch are obeyed. Our founding fathers wanted to give the executive branch of government enough power to carry out its duties, but not so much power that it might become abusive. They decided upon a single chief executive, a president. Next, the framers of our Constitution had to decide how the president should be elected. As you learned earlier, they decided that the president should be elected by a special committee known as the Electoral College. The Electoral College. The number of electors from any given state equals the number of its representatives in the Senate, always two, and in the House of Representatives. West Virginia has 5 votes of the total of 538 votes in the Electoral College. There are 538 votes in the Electoral College because there are 100 United States Senators, 435 members of the House of Representatives, and 3 electors from the District of Columbia. It takes 270 votes in the Electoral College, a majority, to be elected. During a presidential election, the people in each state vote for the candidates of their choice for president and vice president. In reality, a vote for a candidate is actually a vote for the candidate's electors. The candidate who wins the popular vote in a state usually wins all of that state's electoral votes. Although this is historically what happens, the electors are not legally bound to vote for the candidate who wins the popular vote in their state. In fact, in the 1988 election, a Democratic elector from Cable County cast a ballot for vice presidential candidate Lloyd Benson instead of presidential candidate Michael Dukakis. Each state's electors meet in their state capital in the middle of December and cast their electoral votes, one for president and one for vice president. The electoral votes are then sent to the president of the U.S. Senate, who opens and reads them before both houses of Congress on January 6th. The candidates with the majority of votes is declared the winner for the presidential and vice presidential races. These two individuals are sworn into office at noon on January 20th, Inauguration Day. In the 2016 election, Donald Trump won the electoral vote, while Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Divisions of the Executive Branch. The executive branch of government consists of far more than just the offices of president and vice president, but a discussion of the executive branch most often starts with those two officials. Qualifications for the president and vice president are the same. Both the president and vice president must be at least 35 years of age, native-born, not naturalized, citizens, and residents of the United States for at least 14 years. They are elected to serve a 4-year term of office. The 22nd Amendment, ratified in 1951, limited the president to 2 terms. The vice president assumes the presidency if the president dies in office, resigns, or is removed by the impeachment process. If the vice president cannot assume those duties, the line of succession falls to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, followed by the President pro tem of the Senate, and then following through the cabinet officers, beginning with the Secretary of State and continuing in the order each cabinet position was created. The vice president can also become acting president for a period of time if the president becomes too ill to perform his or her duties. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution sets the guidelines for a new vice president to be named if the regular vice president becomes president. The Constitution gives the President a number of powers. These powers include 1. Appointing and dismissing thousands of federal employees, such as ambassadors, federal judges, justices of the Supreme Court, ministers and consuls, cabinet officers and those who serve under them. 2. Acting as Commander-in-Chief of the nation's armed forces. 3. Recommending legislation. 4. Vetoing bills or signing legislation into law. 5. Receiving diplomatic representatives. 6. Pardoning offenders against the United States. 7. Entering into treaties or compacts with foreign nations. And 8. Issuing proclamations. Many of the powers given to the executive branch are shared with Congress. For example, the executive branch has the power to make treaties with foreign nations, but all treaties must be approved by the Senate. Major presidential appointments must also be approved by the Senate. The chief executive can veto a bill, but Congress can override the veto by a 2-thirds vote in each house. Of course, the job of administering the federal government in a nation as large and complex as the United States requires more than just the 2 officials elected as president and vice president. The administrative groups that make up the executive branch of our government are generally known as the executive bureaucracy. It can be divided into 5 main groups: the executive office of the president, the cabinet, independent agencies, regulatory commissions, and government corporations. The executive office of the president. The executive office of the president includes major offices or agencies whose directors are appointed by the President with the consent of the Senate. These government leaders serve at the will and pleasure of the President and can be fired or asked to resign by the President at any time. Agencies in the Executive Office of the President include the Office of Management and Budget, the National Security Council, and the Council of Economic Advisors. The Cabinet. Members of the Cabinet serve as official advisors to the President and as the heads of executive departments. The Cabinet members are appointed by the President, but they must be confirmed by the Senate. There are currently 15 Cabinet members. Independent agencies. Congress has created a number of independent agencies to serve the public interest and keep the government and economy working smoothly. The nature and purpose of independent agencies vary widely. For example, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, supervises national laws and programs involving clean air and water, waste disposal, radiation, and toxic substances. Another independent agency, the General Services Administration, oversees spending by all other government agencies. The heads of independent agencies are appointed by the President with the consent of the Senate. The Judicial Branch. The duties of the Judicial Branch of the federal government include deciding on the meaning or interpretation of the Constitution and laws. The Supreme Court and all lower federal courts make up the Judicial Branch. The Judicial Branch protects individual citizens from mistreatment by other branches of government. The Supreme Court. The Constitution established the Supreme Court as the highest court in the land. Currently, the court has a Chief Justice and 8 Associate Justices. The President, with the consent of the Senate, appoints these men and women. There are no set qualifications for Supreme Court justices, and they usually serve for life or until they choose to retire. The Supreme Court has both original and appellate jurisdiction. The court has original jurisdiction in cases involving a foreign country or in disputes between states and the federal government. It has appellate jurisdiction when reviewing decisions of lower-ranking federal courts and the decisions of the highest-ranking state courts. When the Supreme Court decides a case on constitutional grounds, that decision becomes the precedent, guideline, both for all lower courts to follow and for laws that deal with similar issues. Focus on technology, learning skill, collaboration. Demonstrate ethical behavior and work responsibly and collaboratively with others to accomplish both individual and team goals related to an academic presentation. Technology tool, PowerPoint. Use advanced features and utilize presentation software, design templates, design layouts, fonts, colors, backgrounds, animation, graphics, and inserting pictures, objects, movies, sound, charts, hyperlinks, and/or graphs to create an original product. Form a group of 3 to 5 students. Each student should use a search engine to find information on one of West Virginia's congressional representatives. Each student should choose a different delegate to research. After researching the delegates, meet as a group to discuss your findings. Then, as a group, plan a PowerPoint presentation that focuses on the life and accomplishments of one of the state's representatives. Your presentation should include at least 4 slides and should include text and pictures. Use different design templates, fonts, colors, and animation when creating the slides. The greatest power of the Supreme Court is that of judicial review, or the ability to set aside the actions of the legislative or executive branches or any government agency. By its decision in Marbury v. Madison, the court established the principle that it could declare laws or presidential acts unconstitutional. The court can also prevent executive action through injunctions, court orders, that forbid the action. In addition, the court's Chief Justice presides over impeachment proceedings against a president. The Supreme Court decides which cases it will hear. This authority allows the court to keep its caseload manageable and set its own constitutional priorities. Other federal courts. The Constitution gave Congress the power to establish courts lower than the Supreme Court. In the Judiciary Act of 1789, Congress established circuit courts of appeals and district courts. Over time, other courts have been added. Congress divided the nation into 11 judicial areas called circuits, plus the District of Columbia. Each circuit has between 1 and 24 judges depending on its workload. West Virginia has 2 judges who serve on the 4th Circuit Court of Appeals. These courts have appellate jurisdiction, reviewing the decisions in cases tried in lower courts or the judgments of administrative agencies. There are no juries or witnesses in appellate courts. Only the opposing lawyers appear to explain their positions. Under the courts of appeals are 94 district courts, which are the federal trial courts. District courts have original jurisdiction and hear the cases of civil and criminal violations of federal laws. District courts are the only federal courts that use juries and witnesses in trials. West Virginia is divided into a northern and a southern district. 4 judges serve the northern district and 7 judges serve the southern district. In each district court region, there's also a United States bankruptcy court. Bankruptcy is a legal judgment that a person or an organization cannot pay its debts. The property of the bankrupted entity is administered to pay off creditors. Special courts. The final part of the federal judicial system is a series of courts created by Congress to deal with special kinds of cases. The United States Tax Court, for example, hears disputes between citizens and the Internal Revenue Service. The United States Court of Military Appeals reviews military court-martial convictions. The United States Court of International Trade decides civil lawsuits against the United States involving trade with other nations. The United States Court of Federal Claims handles cases against the United States because of acts of Congress or contracts with the government. Checks and balances. The men who wrote our Constitution provided for a system of checks and balances to keep the branches of equal importance. For example, the power to pass a bill was given to the legislative branch, but the executive branch must either sign the bill into law or veto it so it does not become law. The judicial branch cannot write bills or sign them into law, but it can declare a law unconstitutional. In this way, each branch of government has a check on the power of the other two. Checks and balances are meant to keep branches of government equal, but sometimes people find ways around them. For example, it is said that President Theodore Roosevelt wanted to send the United States Navy around the world so that the sailors would gain experience and other nations would see the strength of our naval forces. Congress did not like Roosevelt's plan and refused to provide the money. Roosevelt is said to have replied, "Very well, the existing appropriation will carry the Navy halfway around the world, and if Congress chooses to leave it on the other side, all right." Reviewing the section. Reviewing the content. 1. What are the basic requirements a person must meet to be elected to Congress? 2. How many congressional districts does West Virginia have? 3. What are the requirements to be elected President of the United States? Using the content. 1. Develop a campaign slogan for a candidate for President of the United States. 2. Write a persuasive essay in support of the election of the President of the United States by the Electoral College or by popular vote. Extending the literacy skill. Look at the photograph at the bottom of page 39 and answer the questions on a separate sheet of paper. 1. Where was the photograph taken? 2. Who are the two men in the picture? 3. What might the two men have been discussing? 4. What is the mood of the two men? Chapter Summary. Section 1. Government and the People. The government of the United States is a representative democracy. The 5 basic principles of democratic government are sovereignty, limited government, separation of powers, checks and balances, and federalism. A citizen is one who owes allegiance to his or her country and who is entitled to its protection. A citizen can be native-born or naturalized. Citizens are guaranteed certain rights under the United States Constitution, as well as protection under state and federal law. Many of the rights guaranteed to U.S. citizens are found in the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution and in Article 3 of the West Virginia Constitution. Basic rights of United States citizens include freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition, the right to bear arms, the right to be secure in their homes, protection from illegal search and seizure of their property, the right to a fair trial before a jury of their peers, the right of due process of law. U.S. citizens also have certain responsibilities. They include voting, obeying laws, serving on juries, paying taxes, staying informed, and getting involved. In order to vote, a person must be a United States citizen and be at least 18 years of age. In West Virginia, the person must also be a resident of the state and of the county and city or town in which he or she is voting. Citizens may vote in a variety of elections, including primary elections, general elections, special elections, levy elections, and nonpartisan elections. Citizens can stay informed about their government by reading newspapers, watching television, using the internet, attending meetings, and talking with others. Special interest groups, including lobbyists and political action committees, try to influence legislators to favor a certain position. Section 2, Shaping American Government. The first government of the United States was set out in the Articles of Confederation. The United States Constitution was written to address the weaknesses of the Articles of Confederation. 55 delegates from 12 states attended the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia in 1787. 39 of those delegates actually signed the U.S. Constitution. 9 states had to ratify the Constitution before it could become the law of the land. On June 21, 1788, New Hampshire became the 9th state to ratify the document. The U.S. Constitution can be changed by an amendment that must be ratified by 3/4 of the states. Section 3, the Federal Government. The U.S. Constitution established 3 branches of government: legislative, executive, and judicial. Congress is a bicameral legislature. It operates through a system of standing committees and select committees. West Virginia has 2 senators and 3 representatives in Congress. Representation in the United States House of Representatives is based on population. Representation is recalculated every 10 years after the federal census has been taken. Congress has both expressed and implied powers. The executive branch, headed by the president, also includes the vice president, executive departments, the cabinet, independent agencies, federal regulatory commissions, and government corporations. The judicial branch includes the United States Supreme Court, circuit courts, district courts, bankruptcy courts, and special courts. A system of checks and balances ensures that no one branch of government becomes more powerful than the other branches. Chapter 1, Chapter Review, American Government and Citizenship. Recalling the facts. 1. What is a naturalized citizen? 2. What are some responsibilities of citizenship? 3. What are the basic rights given to all citizens in the Bill of Rights? 4. Why is the writ of habeas corpus important? 5. What is the difference between a trial jury and a grand jury? 6. What were some compromises made by the delegates at the Constitutional Convention? 7. Who were West Virginia's two United States senators in 2018? 8. What is the Electoral College? Learning skill. 1. Which basic principle of democratic government do you think is most important? Give reasons for your answer. 2. What right, not given in the Bill of Rights, do you think citizens should have? 3. How can citizens help preserve our democratic government? 4. Why do you think so few citizens vote? What can be done to encourage more citizens to vote? 5. How did the Great Compromise solve the issue of representation in the United States Congress? 6. Why do you think the men who drafted the U.S. Constitution set the particular age requirements for senators, representatives, presidents, and vice presidents that they did? Do you think these qualifications should be changed? Give reasons for your answer. Community connection. 1. Interview a law enforcement officer to determine how the Bill of Rights affects the way the officer performs his or her job. 2. Good citizens should volunteer their services for the good of the community. Choose a local organization, such as an animal shelter, and volunteer your services. Keep a journal of your experience. Literacy skill. 1. Develop a campaign slogan for one of West Virginia's congressional representatives. 2. Write letters to your congressional representative and your senators. Find out how they maintain contact with the voters in your community. Find out where their local offices are located and how those offices are staffed. Find out what to do if you have a problem and need assistance from them. Technology tool. 1. Use a search engine to research one of the 55 delegates to the Constitutional Convention. Prepare a poster illustrating your findings. 2. Use a search engine to locate a copy of the West Virginia Constitution. Make a chart comparing the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution with Article 3, Bill of Rights, in the West Virginia Constitution.